survive if I let you.
Taz. He is a human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. I love this reaction show.
Right for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the human podcast machine. My name is Taz. This is a fantasy draft edition. You know, one of my special deals, and this is going to be on top 10 strongest wrestlers, jacked up, powerful dudes. I am joined by the Professor Vegas himself, Mike Today. Hello, Mike.
Taz, always a pleasure, and I'm going to try and turn over a new leaf this week. All going to be positive for me. It's great to be on the podcast. It's great to talk to you. How wonderful it is that we have Seth not only producing the show, but also getting involved. And let me tell you, I cannot wait to hear the fans' tweets.
Hey, you must have hit the exacta last night or something. Jeez. Did you hit the triple?
The trifecta will click every now and then.
And
it's
Seth
good,
is...
It's always good when it's just under the taxable amount, you know?
That's nice.
But I digress.
Seth, my producer. Seth, say hello.
Hello.
Everybody knows Seth. He's a world famous on Twitter. He's a cult hero.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Here we go. Top 10 strong wrestlers. So this basically is pretty self-explanatory what we're going to do here, guys. All right? So
it is to a certain extent.
Here we go.
Right. You know, where I went with this list, maybe I think we're probably going to be very similar on a lot of these, but there's so many different kinds of strongmen, so many different kinds of strength. What are we using to measure it? Is it visual judging? Are we going to judge by using in-competition numbers, which I did in many instances? The one thing I will say, when it comes to some of the wrestlers, what I'm going to do here is I'm totally going to defer to Taz, because who would have a better opinion on so many of these people in terms of strength than someone who has competed against them? Or someone like myself, who's been watching from 20 feet away, from 10 feet away, from whatever, visually I can judge. I know stories, I know stats. But I will defer to you, sir.
Well, it's rare that you defer the microphone to anyone.
So, had to happen once, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. And it's obvious that you're just so frustrated that you're not hosting my show. I could tell.
Is that it?
Because every friggin' fantasy draft show, right. Seth, yeah. I don't know if you've noticed this, because you right. probably haven't. Today has an opening monologue, like he's Jimmy Kimmel or something. I noticed. He's like he's Kimmel. It's like he's
like Johnny Carson.
He's like Johnny Carson. Yeah.
Hello.
Comes out, he's got an opening monologue.
Correct. Thank you, Ed.
It's unbelievable. This guy comes on my show and he's got a monologue. It's amazing.
It's so pent up. I need an outlet.
He needs an outlet. Oh, I'm taking a high road on everyone else that in the company you work with. So I will digress in 3, 2, 1. All right, so what's your top 10, Mike, today? Who's your number 10, I should say? Top Schnabus Furnham's strongest wrestler.
Do you know I always like to start off with maybe a little different spin on things than you guys did?
Yeah,
the last list. Yeah. Number 10 for me, I'm going to put him on this list, and I'll say that probably neither of you will have this individual. Again, completely different kind of strength. My number 10 is going to be Danny Hodge.
I like that a lot. I know where you're going.
You know where I'm headed with this?
Yes, sir, I do.
Danny Hodge was a world junior heavyweight champion, God, for decades. But Danny Hodge had a completely different kind of strength. He had grip strength.
Snaps. I've met Danny Hodge and had the... and I shook his hand. Brother... I know.
this is a guy who even, you know, into his 70s, right?
Yeah.
Can sit there with a pair of pliers and snap the pair of pliers.
Amazing. It's a truth.
Absolutely amazing. A quick aside, a quick funny story. I remember in the WCW years, we were all checking in to a hotel in whatever city that was. And get off the elevator. I notice that another elevator door opens on the same floor as me is Bobby Heenan. I walk down to my room, put the key in. I go to turn the door handle, and the door handle comes off in my hand. Heenan walking by, no eye contact, never misses a beat, says, "Slow down, Danny Hodge."
You ripped it off the gimmick.
I'm standing outside my hotel room door with the door handle in my hand. Slow down, Danny Hodge, and just keeps going, walking right on by me.
Nah, he was known for that. I met him. Man, I was in WWE, and we were doing like a SmackDown.
Probably Oklahoma City.
It was Oklahoma City, and he came backstage, and all in the locker room, and all the boys were so respectful to him. And you know, it's rare that you see wrestlers getting autographs from other wrestlers, and that's what happened. I mean, because he's Danny Hodge. I mean, he was signing guys' boots. It was unbelievable. Yeah, it was, and really, the stories about his grip, and I remember, you know, JR was telling a lot of the stories about, like, stuff you were saying, you know, just to make his, you know, he knows him and all, but amazing, amazing, amazing. Good pick right there. I like that. And Danny
Thank you,
Hodge,
thank you, sir.
Good pick, and grip strength, a little bit different. And in wrestling, a lot of people don't realize your grip is vital. Your grip is so, in amateur wrestling or martial arts, you grip any sport, I don't care if you're a pro baseball player or a basketball player or a football player or you play lacrosse, grip is everything in sports. It's where it starts, your hands, you know? So, speaking of grip, I want to take my hand and grip the throat of your neck, Seth, your stack of dimes. So, please tell me who your number 10 is.
Wait, I'm flexing. Okay.
I'm going to kick him right in the yam bag.
Yam bag. Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Good pick.
Is my number 10.
I like that pick.
I just remember hearing about, you know, him working out, like, shoulder pressing 300-plus pounds for reps and everything.
He's a strong dude, for real. I don't have him on my list. I ain't going to lie. I like that pick, though. Yeah. I like that pick. That's a good pick. Good job.
You know, he teamed with a Hogan for a little while, and he's been working out together and shit. So
yeah.
He's a badass.
No, he definitely was. Good guy, too. I think he played football at University of Tampa, I believe.
Oh. So yeah, some else went there.
Right. Hey, Mike.
The Brandon Bull, as Gordon Brandon Soley would call Bull. Him, from Brandon, Florida.
Mike, the guy doing the show with us here is an alumni of University of Tampa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Correctamundo.
Ooh, yeah, that explains a lot. Yeah.
Not exactly the Ivy Leagues.
No.
But hey, it's good enough for John Matuszak. It's good enough for me.
No knock on anyone else who went to University of Tampa.
Freddie Solomon.
But you went to UT and you had to deal with Seth. God bless you. This guy did not go to class. All right, so number 10 for me was the Herc. Hercules Hernandez. This is my number 10. I think just the frame of this guy's body, his thickness, his genetics. And that's a word you guys will hear me talk about a lot during this, the genetics. Because a lot of times you could train all you want, lift all you want, diet all you want. If you don't have good genetics, you're not. And you can take any kind of drug you want, too. Genetics take a big part in what you have in regards to bringing power, strength to a weight room or to a ring or to your appearance. And I think Herc had all of that. He had what we call short muscle group. Again, talking over both your heads here. And
I want to be educated. Short, like I said, I defer to you when it comes to this.
Short muscle groups, and that's not a shot. Oh, Taz, you should know you're short. No, that's not that type of short. What I mean is short muscle group where his tendons, even though he was a taller guy, Hernandez was probably, what, Mike? 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, in that neighborhood.
Far from short, big dude, but he had short muscle group. If you look at photos of him, at his pecs, at his biceps and shoulders, they were not elongated. They were not, I'll give you a bit. Brock Lesnar's a guy with long muscle group. If you look at the size of if you took a tape measure and measured Brock's pec, his chest, from top to bottom, the length of it, and someone like a Hercules Hernandez, you'd see a big difference. Now, Brock, obviously, is a super powerful guy. But I'm just saying, most guys with short muscle group have a lot of power, and they don't have to be short guys. So there's your education. So
nice.
I love it.
Yep. Well, there's not much you guys are going to say after I say that.
No, so, awesome. I mean we're at that point, we're just going to bow. Come on.
You would think I'm in better shape at this point. But you know what? I'm pushing 90.
You know an awful lot about it.
Yeah, I do. Thanks, Mike. I'm
just waiting for you to really put it into the process. Is number 9? Does that mean me is 9?
Yeah. Judas. Look ahead, Mike. This is your last show, by the way. You're done.
Oh, boy, if I should only be so lucky. 9. 9 for me is another one that I'm going to say that neither of you have on your list.
I hate when you say that. It's so disrespectful. Because it's condescending.
It's
no, Mike, that's condescending.
It's just that maybe as you come to the fork in the road, I expect that you and Seth are going to go to the right and I may take a left.
Mike, it's very condescending and conduct becoming of you.
Exactly like me. Would you expect it? What else would you expect? 9 for me, I'm going to say, pound for pound.
That means he's a small guy.
Rey Mysterio.
Not that small, but pound for pound. This is a guy who was probably 250, 260. I'm talking about Doug Furness. Doug Furness, believe it or not, still today in 2015 has college records that still stand. Doug Furness, for me, for being somebody his size, what he was able to accomplish pound for pound, Doug Furness is sort of an odd one on there. I'm putting him at number 9, again, just to be different.
Well, you're not different because he's on my list, smartass. He's on my list.
All right.
And I got him. I gave him a lot more credit than you do, but I digress.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Oh, I got it, brother. Got it.
Good.
Go ahead, Dan Nitz. What do you
waiting.
Got?
Oh, you're fired up about that one.
Yeah, I am.
I got, based on watching him over the last couple of years, I have Cesaro at number 9.
Okay.
I feel like he is a powerhouse. I saw him pick up the Big Show like he's a, like a sack of potatoes. I mean, this guy is extremely powerful, very lean, but just very strong.
Short muscle group. Look at his body.
Love the pick.
Look at his muscle, but look at his body. Look at the muscle group, and think about what I'm telling you. Short muscle group guy.
Believe it or not, I had Cesaro on just outside the top 10. But the reason being, I decided to go with Danny Hodge. But when I see Cesaro, the guy that I think of is Danny Hodge. He's obviously bigger than Danny Hodge was, but it's the same sort of deal where when you do your visual judging of Cesaro and put him next to someone who has more of a bodybuilder look, you're going to automatically think that the bodybuilder is stronger. I love that pick because I think people in the know would say Cesaro probably one of the strongest active guys in the business today.
Our newer fans would know, too, obviously Cesaro. So I think it's a good pick. I don't have him on my list, but he definitely earns that for sure. Good pick, Seth. I like that. My number 9 is the great Bruno Sammartino. Bruno was always known as a strong man, and a lot of what Bruno, and he trained a lot years ago at a bodybuilder named Franco Colombo. It's from Italy, Sardinia. I'm saying it wrong? Right. And Franco Colombo, you guys ever heard of Franco Colombo?
Didn't he break his leg in the World's Strongest Man competition?
Yes, he did.
With
a
refrigerator on his back?
Ivan Putski did.
No.
Oh, Franco Colombo did. You're right. He did.
His leg snapped carrying a refrigerator.
Very, very famous Franco Colombo was in the 60s.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know him, but yeah, anybody who saw the movie Pump and Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the great documentary on bodybuilding from about the 1975 Olympia, Franco Colombo was very close friends with Arnold Schwarzenegger because they both came to America at the same time. One from, where was Arnold from? Australia? Austria, same. Australia.
Good night, mate.
And my man Colombo's from, So anyway, Bruno Sammartino, I believe.
Franco Colombo's one of your homeboys.
Yeah, man. Well, he was a monster power guy, but Bruno, Bruno's my pick. Bruno, I think, had they were friends. There was something going on. They were buddies. They trained, But anyway, Bruno was known. I don't know why I just brought up Franco Colombo, but Bruno was known as during his era, one of the stronger guys as far as power.
He was a power lifter, not a bodybuilder.
He totally was. Yeah. He looked like a wrestler. You know, hairy, thick dude. Like a fighter. And that's how it was back then. So that's my number 9. Okay.
How great do I think that pick is? Because my number 8 is Bruno Sammartino.
There you go.
How about that?
Let me point out a couple of things about the accomplishments of Bruno. Think of the time period, as you pointed out, early 1960s. Think of how different the world of lifting was in the early 1960s. Let's look at some of the differences.
Yeah.
Drug-free.
That's not necessarily true.
I'm
not saying that about Bruno, but I'm saying I
not as prevalent.
I think it was around.
Okay. Do you think there's any way that what was available in the early 1960s? Thank you. And I don't need to go any further,
but
right?
There's a difference. I'm going to get a little detail. Okay. I don't want to talk about this, but back then any of the stuff that any bodybuilder or athlete could find was real. Now, and in the past 20 years, a lot of stuff is bootleg and tampered with, and it's maybe 20, a lot of it's a placebo. You think you're taking something that's real, and it's laced with other stuff.
This is
a whole other topic here, boys.
I think it is part of the topic in a sense, and I want your feedback on this because, like I said, this is a topic that I don't claim to be the be all and end all. Tell me about specialization in terms of lifts these days. The wraps, the different things that they have to help them that they didn't in those days.
Well,
and one last thing, and I'll let you go on that. Bruno, in terms of lifts and reps, I think just in a completely different stratosphere than anybody else in that era. But go ahead.
I think you're right, and I agree with you on that. The difference back then to now was education, obviously, to a lot of things because of evolution. Education to recovery, number one, meaning those guys were all overtraining because they had no idea that your body actually grows when you rest it. And they didn't know that. And then I'm not knocking those guys. That was the mindset back then. The more you train, the bigger you get. The more you eat, the bigger you get. A lot of those guys were not ripped back then. You didn't see a lot of vascularity and lean muscle. Of course, the other lack of education that they had was nutrition. Okay, it was a whole different look at nutrition. To them, it was about you drink milk, you know, you eat steak, and you know, you drink beer, and you get thick. And that's why they were all thick, powerful, strong guys, because they were high protein, you know, and all that. Today, guys are leaner, and they're smarter to nutrition. Well, not just today, but the past, 15, 20 years. So there's a lot more education to nutrition. There's a lot more supplements, natural stuff, that can help you lean out your body and bring more protein in as far as overloading your kidneys with leftover of red meats. So there's a lot more education to nutrition and supplements, as I said, if you're natural. You know, back then, those guys didn't know that. They were hanging and banging, old school, just lifting and drinking milk and just doing their thing, you know? But that, you know, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's the deal. Education, my friend. Anything else, Mike, that I help you?
That's
you're
what
good?
You just gave us.
You want to put me over?
That's what you just gave us. I figured I'd let you explain. You're the expert on this.
Put me over a little more than that, bro. You know what I'm saying?
That's enough. We're only at pick number 8. I mean, come on. What do you want me to do?
Who goes? You or me?
Me. Great segue from Bruno. I have superstar Billy Graham at number 8.
Love it. Now, how do you know he was strong?
Well, first of all, look at him. And second,
that doesn't mean anything.
True. But he also, I know he worked out with Schwarzenegger.
That doesn't mean he's strong either.
I don't know. And I thought he was a strong wrestler.
The way
he handled guys in the ring as well.
His physical presence was ahead of his time.
Yes.
The muscularity he had and all the training he did.
Bodybuilder.
Again, short muscle group. Look at his body. Look at someone's pecs. Look at how, that. So I'm not saying he wasn't powerful.
He's vertically.
Yes, vertically. Thank you. I don't know how powerful he was. I really don't know. I'm sure he was a pretty strong friggin' dude because he looked it. I gotcha. But because he had more of a bodybuilder look and he always was flexing in the ring and posing, that I think people were looking at him like a Hulk Hogan. I don't think when you think of Hulk Hogan, you don't think of him as being strong, in my opinion. Think of Hulk because of his body and he was big. And thick, you know. So, you know what I mean? Look, all these guys are strong. There's guys that have pot bellies that are strong.
Sure. Look, Kevin Owens.
How do you know he's strong?
Just watching him in the ring, the way he's picking guys up.
Like, I'm not saying he's not strong, but how you...
That's what I'm basing it
why
on.
Why is it always about the current guys with you? Why do you have to...
Trying to pick a fight with me now.
Pick a fight, I'll throw you through the window, bro.
I didn't say I have a chance to win the fight.
Mike, I'm going to murder the guy.
It's his
right
point
now.
Of reference, Daz. It's a point of reference.
Thank
if
you.
If he hasn't seen it in the last 5 minutes, he's got to Google it. You know that. Wait a minute, I said I had turned over a new leaf, Seth. I apologize.
Buried in the back end. All right.
You guys are a couple of bullies. That's who you are.
Speaking of bullies, on cue, Seth, you are the man. Because my man, high five. My man, number 8.
Ow.
A guy neither of you guys will have. I promise you this. Seth won't know him. Mike Tenay will. You called me a bully, right? Bully Busick.
Bully
wow.
Busick.
Wow.
Look at Tenay. I knew he'd pop.
Wow. Now, were you in Smoky Mountain with him?
I just missed him. I never met him, but I was when I had dark matches for WWF years ago. He was just coming in, getting his push, but I was not in Smoky with him. No, did you know him, Mike? I never knew him.
I did not, but I sure watched him. You know, saw many of his matches through the years.
Worked in Texas a lot for World Class, right?
Yep.
But Gary Hart was there.
Got to get back to that.
The Koran. Is not available unless you like $300.
Let me tell you about this Busick dude, man. Bully Busick, for those that don't know, Seth, this guy was known as a powerhouse. Like, he very, like, locker rooms knew how strong this guy was. He was a very, very strong guy. And if you look at Google pictures of him, he was like, okay, you'll see. Well, he's a thick guy. He's put together. He's not like some ripped bodybuilder guy, but you could tell. Anybody who's trained or been an athlete, you could see he's a powerful guy. And he had a reputation back then of being known as he's a super legit strong guy. So that's my number 8, Bully Busick. I went a little bit different there. So What are we up to here?
That is a good one.
That's a good one. We're going to break.
That's a good one.
Are we bro, oh, slow down today. Slow down. We're going to break, bro. So you do a TV show, radio
excited
show.
Excited about seven.
All right, we'll be right back right here. We're going to continue with the top 10 strongest wrestlers right here on this fancy draft edition with myself, Seth, and a Professor Mike today as our special guest. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with the warm, cuddly, fuzzy Taz.
The Human Podcast Machine.
All right, let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So, the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. I won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, welcome back right here to this Fantasy Draft Edition Top 10 Strongest Wrestlers. We're up to number 7, the Professor himself. Tanay, what do you got?
Yeah, at my number 7, and I just wanted to point out Seth's previous pick of Billy Graham is one of the reasons why, for someone like Seth and myself, it makes it difficult. If you're visually judging, I think you would immediately jump to that conclusion. So while I had Billy Graham, I had him written down as somebody I was considering. I kept him just out of the top 10.
Just
slightly out. And by the way, at my number 7 pick, I decided to go with someone who, again, people might not think of right off the bat, yet in terms of feats of strength.
Oh, I know who you're going to say.
In the ring. And I decided I was
going to... Wait, before you say it, I'm going to say his initials and tell me if I'm right.
Go ahead.
So again, fans out there, we never share each other's lists.
I think I got it too.
That was obvious with the last podcast we had.
Yeah. The Exoticos.
Yeah, I don't think you need to explain it to them. They know.
The men
Joe like Block, AT22 from Mexico. Yeah, no.
Give me, who do you
BB,
think I have
BB,
at seven?
BB.
It's not BB.
Okay.
Is it DB?
My choices when it came to this, I thought of a prototypical person to put in at number 7, and while I would consider Brock Lesnar in the same realm, and God, if Taz is going to tell me Brock Lesnar is even stronger than this guy, I will defer. But my number 7 was Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
Well, okay, can I say something right now? Can I say something?
Go.
My show? Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I'm so glad you brought his name up. I don't have Steve Williams on my list, but there's a big but. I will say the strongest person, because none of you guys are smart enough to ask me that question, and today I'm disappointed in you on that.
What?
Yeah, you heard me. The strongest person I've ever been in the ring with.
What have I done 10 times in this broadcast? Defer to you because you've been in the ring.
He has.
Yeah, but you never said, Taz, who's the strongest guy you've ever
faced. I was getting to that. Why ask at number 6 or 7? Go ahead.
You're lying, Mike. You're a gambler. You don't tell the truth. We know this. please. Come on, Mike. The strongest guy I've ever been in the ring with was the late, great, as you just said, Dr. Death, Steve Williams. I'm telling you right now, I was in my prime. I mean, this was ECW at its blatant best. I was in my prime. I was in really good shape, and I was cooking on all cylinders. And I got in the ring with Steve Williams, and at least 2 times in that match, I felt like, okay, this guy can do whatever he wants with me anytime he wants. Thank God he likes me. I wasn't like afraid, but I knew that I was overmatched. I never felt like that. Only one time when I pissed off Bigelow in a match, I felt like that.
Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got bam, mad.
I think you mentioned this in a test. Yeah. Like Kurt Angle as well, though, you said.
Well, Kurt's another guy, but Kurt was different strength than Steve.
No, I mean, it was like he could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, Kurt, you definitely, Kurt, for sure. But Steve Williams was, there was something. But I didn't put him on my list because
But yet you just said one sentence ago he was the strongest guy that you were ever in the ring with.
Correct. But I don't know if that means that he was... I don't look at him as a guy that... like, when I talk about... give you an example. When I talk about... when I say a guy like Bruno Sammartino or Bully Busick or like I said, Hercules Hernandez, those guys are known for lifting things and being strong or being powerful. And I'm talking about locker room... tales that I've heard.
Sure.
I've never heard that about Steve Williams. I felt it. That's why I said I didn't have him on my list, but I wanted to talk about him. I didn't know you were going to bring him up, so there you go.
Well, I mean, to me, the thing that's most interesting about this is, and I tried to stack the top of the list with guys with competitive numbers that you could actually back up and you know, championships that they won. But then you have that other group. You have that Brock Lesnar, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, that type of strength. You also have, and how do you get a measure on someone who is like the size of a Bam Bam Bigelow, the size of an Andre the Giant, the size of a Big Show, when they never really competed in terms of competitive weightlifting where you have actual numbers. So again, that's what makes this list, I think, so interesting. You know, whatever direction you decide to take.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, Mike. I mean, I'm a complex guy at times, too. That's a whole other note.
But thanks for the insight on Dr. Death Steve Williams.
You're welcome, Mike.
That was
friend.
Good.
You're welcome. Seth, you're bringing me down. Who do you got?
Number 7, Polish Power, Ivan Putski.
Ah, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Even before he got all cut up, I know he used to be a big barrel-chested, big belly guy in AWA, but he was always a strong man. He always came across. That was like his gimmick.
No doubt. That was his gimmick, and it was legit. He was a very strong guy, very nice guy, too. One of the nicest guys when I was working, coming up as they didn't call him indies back then, and he was a star coming on the circuit then, and he was always treat us young guys really cool. His son was a different story.
Oh,
Scott.
Ouch.
But he was okay. I mean, but Ivan was great. Ivan was a really, really good guy.
Hey, Professor, I know you we'll talk about a different book, Freddie Blassie's book, because he talked about Ivan Putski.
Yeah, that's today's deal.
Do you remember what he said about Ivan Putski?
I don't remember specifically, but Blassie had to say educate me.
Wow, Mike. Thanks for putting Mike on the spot.
Sorry, Mike.
Sorry that I didn't memorize Freddie's book word for word. Go ahead.
At least you love the guy. Like, you know, he's like a second father to you.
He was in the third.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he hated Putski. Putski used to bust his balls all the time. I think he finally whacked him in the leg with a cane or something. Yeah.
I believe that.
He got real pissed because, you know, Freddie was older and he was taking advantage.
I'm wearing his gold sequin jacket as we speak.
And nothing else, right, Mike?
Well,
the Exoticos.
Too many details.
The Exoticos.
Exoticos.
All right, Liberace.
Liberace. All right, who are we up to? 7 with me?
7 with
all right,
you.
7 with me. I got Mr. USA, Tony Atlas.
So
I think some of you guys might have him on your list. Tony Atlas, watch this man in a gym. You know, bench press. 405 pounds
for reps.
Jesus. I'm talking, I don't remember the number, man. It was
I think Tony Atlas got mid fives easy with the bench.
Oh yeah, I'm saying I watched him train with 405,
mm-hmm.
405 pounds. It's 445 pound plates in each end, and I was in there training shoulders with somebody. We were doing a show up for the Savoldis up in Maine somewhere. We're at some like YMCA gym, and they just barely had enough weights for Tony. And the cool thing with Tony Atlas, he would, with the younger guys, he would teach us different concepts in lifting. I learned a lot from him years ago. He would talk to the boys about training, like in dieting, and he wasn't an ego guy about it like me. You know, he was nice. He was nice. Tony was a good guy. I like Tony, you know, just, you know, but yeah, I think Tony Atlas, Mr. USA, is known for the power. This guy had legitimate power.
Still big, you
know? Too. Yeah, man. Tony Atlas, no doubt. All right, so what do we got? Tanae, you got number 6 on you, son. What do you got?
Nice pick with Tony Atlas. 6 for me is one that I would, you know, again, if you wanted to overrule me on this, I'd love to hear it. It's from The Powers of Pain, The Warlord.
Ah.
And again, this is a visual judgment on my part, but that's really what it is.
Well, I'm cheating here. Mike, Seth, number 6, tell Tanae what I have.
Yes, Warlord.
I have him at my six.
it's one of those things. I don't have anything to prove it. I don't have any numbers specifically for what he did in terms of a bench. Although I think he easily has done a 600-pound bench.
Oh yeah,
But I'm putting the Warlord at six, and I'm gonna let you do more of an explanation when you get to your pick.
He is legitimately strong. I mean, again, another guy, like when I mentioned not having Steve Williams on the list, but that's like you just said about Waldo. You don't have legitimate numbers on him. I don't either. But he's known for being a true power guy in a weight room or in a ring. And I'm telling you, another guy I've seen in a gym crazy strong.
Well, you said guys are bodybuilders, may not necessarily be
that's
that
true.
Power guys, but he visually looks like not even a human being.
Thickness is crap.
Way to put it.
Right.
Oh, really?
He's a warlord. He's not even a human.
Dude was like 6'7", 6'8".
A monster.
Giant man. I saw him in a locker room wrestling at some Nissan car dealership in a parking lot.
Probably body slammed a car.
No, we're wrestling for this guy, Tom Jeanette. Yeah, he was a little bit of a thief. And
doesn't sound like a promoter.
Wait a minute, used car guy?
Yeah. And we're wrestling shows. I was wrestling Scotty Too Hotty. Scotty Too Hotty.
The worm.
I wrestled Scotty every show. And we did a good match. You know, we're like two undersized guys that would just work hard. And it was hot as hell. And the canvas is burning because the ring's outside in the parking lot. And I got to wrestle barefoot. And the canvas was so hot. We get them working. Scotty Too Hotty says to me, "Geez, Tash, you were really going, like, you were working so fast, I couldn't keep up with you. I was trying to slow you down. I got my feet were hot." That's a shoot. But anyway, I'm talking about Waldon. He was in a locker room, and I remember he sent one of the kids that was helping out, like, getting us coffee or whatever in the locker room, a gopher guy. I thought that's what you were going to be set, but you didn't turn out that way. You're a star now. And he sent to the supermarket, and he literally bought two, like, giant bags of grapes and a watermelon that could feed a village in Guam.
And for a month.
And Warlord ate this fruit like he lived in a tree. I mean, I couldn't believe the pure mass amount of fruit. This is before he worked. And he's like, "Hey, any of you guys wanted this stuff? No, we're good, bro." And he's like eating it like he's going to the chair. I was like, "He's like, you sure don't want no grapes? No, I'm good, bro. Thanks."
He ate the twigs out of the grapes too, right? He didn't pick them off.
Killed it. The watermelon was giant, like a family, like something you see at like Costco's watermelon.
But ate the skin even.
Something you feed like a flea market. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. What number are we up to?
I'm number six.
All right, go ahead.
I got Tony Atlas, Mr. USA. As a kid, you'd see me just pressing guys over his head like they're nothing.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know,
no
and just doubt. Toss them and chuck them.
Might have been one of the first guys to do a press.
Yeah.
She would a human being in the ring.
Yeah, he was just muscle on
what
muscle.
What do you think, Mike? One of the first guys to do a press?
Yes, definitely. Tony Atlas.
I think so. All right, so number six, Tanae, you're up.
I'm up at five now, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you gave your six was Warlord, correct?
My six is Warlord. Five is Scott Flash Norton.
Wow, great pick.
Thank you. Six.
God, I know Scott, and I didn't have him. Damn.
How do you not have Scott Norton?
I don't know, man, but I forgot.
640 bench.
Bro.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, I blew it here.
Arm wrestling background that is absolutely amazing. And here, and speaking, you just said the word animal. The reason that I have Scott Norton on here is I remember that in an interview, they asked Road Warrior Animal, and I think you could probably make a case to have Road Warrior Animal potentially even on this list, right? Road Warrior Animal said, out of all the Minnesota guys, and that encompasses some ground when you remember that group, he said, nobody close to Scott Norton.
Wow.
And that was good enough for me to make him number five.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't have him on there.
Yeah, you know what? I just heard Scott on another podcast. There are other podcasts, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah, I heard him on another podcast. He said, "Yeah, the Road Warriors got him in the business."
Why would you even say that?
Because I'm talking about Scott.
Oh, right.
And he claimed he was the number one arm wrestling guy, and he seemed pretty. He didn't seem like he was bragging or anything. He was just kind of giving the facts. So, yeah, to be a number one arm wrestling guy, those guys were monsters. I mean, so
yeah,
he was a badass.
Yeah, I mean, good guy too. I was in Japan with Scott. And legitimate strong dude. I witnessed a fist fight with him and Tony Holm.
How'd that go?
Hard Rock Cafe.
You should take a look at Tony Holm, by the way, if you haven't
Tony
seen
Holm.
What
he's
I don't.
Tony Holm. Mike, please spawn him up. Who's
Probably knows him as Ludwig Borger, right?
There you go.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah. And
WWE Mark.
There you go. And we were in New Japan. We were Roppongi. It's an area of Tokyo, Seth. It was partying a little bit. The guys, and I don't know what happened, man. And they just... I went at it.
And what was the result?
We got in. Me,
just a scrap?
It was like me, Hawk. I think I want to say Scott Steiner might have been there. The Malenko brothers, I think, were there. We all broke it up. You know, we were just like, hanging out and partying and just eating stuff, drinking a little bit. And I don't know what, we don't even know what happened. They just got into it. I mean, just, and it was like King Kong versus Godzilla in Tokyo, legitimately. People like, oh, people screaming, little women running around. You know, it was crazy. But,
imagine all the cool shit we'd see on cell if you guys had cell phones back in the day.
Oh, God.
All the cool videos would be out there. All those fights and
brawls. There'd be a lot more arrests, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You think?
Maybe not such a good idea.
Oh, maybe not. All right. Number
five for
me. What do you got?
I don't know if you know. I said I was trying to guess Tanae's. I said DB before. You know who the DB is?
Dino Bravo.
Yeah, Dino Bravo.
You're predictable. That's how I know that.
Unpredictable, because Dino Bravo's in WWE. I'm in WWE. Bravo's benching 700 pounds.
I know.
On TV, because those plates were real.
They were all real.
Oh, right. Completely legitimate.
He was a strong man, though.
Yeah, Dino Bravo was a horse, man.
No, there's no doubt.
Giant.
He was a thick, powerful guy.
Yeah.
I never met him.
And even
you
before
know Mike, bigger. You know
I did not. I did not know Dino Bravo.
Yeah, I didn't know him. But he worked for a lot of years before he got to WWF. Where the hell
is he? Canadian.
He's Canadian, yeah.
Yeah, and then he wasn't as big back then, and all of a sudden he got real big.
He did.
Yeah, gigantic, strong, benching 700.
A lot of those guys back then got real big out of nowhere.
Amazing. They just started training hard, saying their prayers, eating their vitamins.
No, I talked about nutrition. It was more education back then. All right, so here we go. Number five is to
their
me.
Milk.
Take a break. Excuse me, Mike?
They drank their milk.
Oh, they drank their milk. I thought you were telling me to take a break, because coincidentally, we have
it's
to take
time
a break.
To take a break.
Yeah, so
after your five.
No, how about I do what I want?
Okay.
I will do my five as a lead-in to the break. Ooh. I mean, not a lead-in, a hook to the break. Taz is five.
Oh, tease it. Go ahead.
I just did.
That's it?
So, yeah, I'm going to go to break. We'll be right back. But this fantasy draft edition right here. Top 10 strongest.
Nice recovery.
Smooth, right, bro? I'll give you my number five when we come back, and the rest of the shindig here with Tanae and Seth. We'll be right back. All right. This is break time.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are back right here on the Humor Podcast Show. I am Taz. Tanae is on the hook. I got Seth in the studio here. And we are doing our top 10 strongest grapplers, basically, I guess, of all time. Including current. So I have number five. I'm up to number five with the great Ken Patera. I have at number five.
Patera?
Yeah. What the hell? You know what I'm talking about?
You say Patera, I say Patera.
Okay, whatever, man. I'm just telling you, he's number five, you smart ass. Right. Okay, so he's my number five. I think that no one can argue with Ken Patera being in a top five of any sorts, nevertheless top 10 for strongest. It was Olympian, right? I mean, he did his whole thing. World's Strongest Man competitions in the ring. That full Nelson he did. It was just everything about him. It was just, you could just tell he was a strong, legit dude.
Love the pick, and he's still to come on my list.
All right.
As we get to number four for me. And the reason that I slotted Scott Norton at five and this gentleman at four, and the numbers are absolutely amazing. My number four is Ted Arcidi.
Okay.
705 bench.
Yep.
But the reason that I slotted Arcidi and Norton at 4 and 5 and not in the top 3 was because they pretty much were limited to the massive numbers just in the bench.
You're using weightlifting numbers, Mike.
It's a competitive number. What's wrong with that?
Look. Okay, so you want to talk about Ted? Look, I have Ted Arcidi. He is on my list, just so you know. Okay.
Okay.
I was a fan of him as a strongman for sure, and probably one of the smoothest workers you've ever seen. Wait a minute.
he was the second coming of Rey Mysterio.
Exactly. But I mean, you're doing the cliche. He benched 705. I mean,
yeah.
He did. And do you know what kind of shirt he was wearing?
Did I
you
not
know what kind of shirt he was wearing?
Did I not bring up wraps and suits earlier?
Yes, the bench press shirt adds a lot. I worked out with a bench press shirt. It adds numbers. I'm not saying that he didn't have a legit 705, but I'm just saying I'm not talking about numbers. That we're doing a top 10 strongest guy. We don't need numbers. You keep throwing out numbers.
But I'm telling you,
really,
that I realize that this is not my level of expertise, so that in many instances, to separate guys, I went to the numbers. Right. But I'm telling you, the difference was that I pegged them because of, I think, my top three were effective in more things than just the bench.
All right, hold on, Mike. I got to tell Seth something off air. This is not for air. We got to book someone different going forward for fantasy drafts instead of Mike.
All right, well, sorry.
He's dropping. All right, I think you heard me. I think you heard me. We're good. Cool. Sorry, bro. I will edit that. All right, so... You there, Mike?
What about the vampire guy? What was his name? Zombie 489.
That was an old. No, we're not going to have the fans.
I think you should have them in studio. Actually,
yes, I do. It's Seth.
You got one of them in there.
I found Seth. He is the zombie. Yeah. So you got Ted Arcidi in the fourth spot, huh?
I do.
All right, I feel you. What do you got, Seth?
He's strong and fairly strong.
You think?
My portfolio. I got Bruno Sammartino, number four.
Okay,
original Italian strongman. He was, I believe, wrestling and weightlifting legit back in Italy before he came over. Is that
sure
correct?
Was. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's so definitely strong.
You know, we said it all.
I had him at nine, as we know. And I'm going to give you my number four, a guy we brought his name up, not old school, new school, Brock Lesnar. Another fella I had the opportunity to be in a gym with, Kurt Angle and I and Brock, when Brock was first starting in the WWE, and Kurt and I were both in the WWE. Brock was a young guy, a new guy, and he drove with us. And we had a lot of fun. I mean, and Brock was the green guy, so, we had a lot of fun. But we train all the time during the day. And so I had the opportunity to train on a regular basis with Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. How's that? So,
you're a pretty good guy.
Yeah. And, Brock kind of trained on his own, did his own thing. We were going to gym, And the amount of, not just the weight this guy would sling around, but the way he'd sling around bodies in the ring. And you talked about Danny Hodge, Mike, at the top of this podcast about grip strength, and he was on your list. And Brock, another guy, just not just amazing thickness and muscle, but his grip strength as his success as an All-American wrestler at University of Minnesota with a great Big Ten wrestling program there. And if Brock didn't go into the WWE, the pro ranks, he probably would have, I think, probably done pretty well, maybe all the way up into the Olympics. You probably could definitely say that he was that good of a heavyweight at Minnesota. So as a collegiate wrestler, but international wrestling is a totally different thing. So, I mean, different level. But I think Brock would have done well if he didn't get into the business. I think he's done pretty well for himself. I mean, so...
he's all right.
From what he did with UFC to WWE and all this stuff. But I would say Brock. Now, again, I talked about short muscle group. When I mentioned Brock earlier, this is a guy who's not. This is more of a long muscle group guy. So, which is rare to have... Not rare, but you don't see it as often with that much power with a long muscle group guy. That's the deal in that. So, I got Brock over there.
I love it. See, that's the insight that I was looking for from you. I'm surprised it took this deep into your list to give us that kind of insight, but nonetheless, that's what we were looking for.
Again, remember that note I had about Mike tonight.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Zombie Freak 413 is going to replace me next time.
Who are we up to here?
Top three.
Oh, here we go.
Top three.
Mike.
Top three. As you had mentioned, Ken Patera earlier, I have him at three. What an interesting story Ken Patera really was when you look back at how he evolved into being a weightlifter. He was a shot putter at BYU.
Huh.
I believe a gold medal shot putter in the Pan Am Games, went to the Olympic trials as a shot putter, and a disappointment, turned to weightlifting. And again, tremendous in the Pan Am Games as far as weightlifting goes, but when he went to the Olympics, he did not fare well, did not place in the Olympics in weightlifting, even though the guy who, year after year, and as you might remember back in the 70s, the famous Russian weightlifter, Alexeyev.
Of course.
I mean, just,
about 600 pounds.
Yeah. For that era, nobody even close, right?
No, no doubt.
When they interviewed him at the Olympics, he said, Ken Patera is stronger than I am.
Wow.
Which,
really?
I thought was a pretty ringing endorsement.
I never knew that. What was it, Alexei? Oh,
I think it was. Was it Vasily Alexeyev?
Something like that.
Vasily Alexeyev. I mean, he was very famous. He was on Wide World of Sports.
Oh God, for years, very, very
week after week,
huge man. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank. Seth's looking it up. Google Boy's checking it all out.
Yeah,
interesting. Well, I mean, you got
Vasily Alexeyev.
That's it. So you're right, Mike Vasily. Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up
here. 80 world records.
80 world. Wow.
Oh my God.
I said gold medal 72.
72. Yeah.
72 gold. And 76. Which would have been Munich.
Wow.
And 76.
And 76. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Boom.
Three. Dominated for.
Who do you got this?
And he died in 2011 at the age of 69.
Wow. Who do you got at number three, Seth?
Number three, I got Brock Lesnar as well. I mean,
okay. Yeah. All right, see, we're kind of floating in that same world here.
He's a beast.
My number three, I had Doug Furness. So Mike Tenay's over here throwing around. You guys don't have this guy.
I love it. I love it. You schooled me, baby.
You damn right, son. Let me tell you, Furness, legitimate powerhouse. Like you're saying, he was short. I got to tell you, he was a little bit taller than me, and I'm like 5'11". So he probably had, he was, I'm not really 5'11", but I don't think Doug was that short of a guy. But then again, he was like, I don't know.
Just right at 6 feet, maybe.
Just under. No, so, yeah, but he was a very, very powerful guy. His quads were used, legs, you know, huge, just powerful guy, thick guy.
5'11".
Now, he didn't go to Auburn. Where did he go to school?
Tennessee,
that's right. I knew it was down south somewhere. Good guy, too. Real good guy. So
wonderful
Furness.
Guy.
What's that?
Wonderful man, Doug.
Yeah,
Furness.
Definitely. I dug at three. For sure, legitimate right there. Who do you have at number two, Mike?
Number two, I have Bill Kazmaier.
Okay. He's not even a pro wrestler.
What? Bill Kazmaier wasn't a pro wrestler.
No. Where did he wrestle?
What are you talking
about?
He
wrestled for WCW for like a week?
A week?
Come on.
Bill can't trust me. And they're matches that you really should go back and watch.
Really?
Because they're not good.
I was going to say, really? Yeah.
They're not even close to being good. But you do have to watch them.
Come on. No, I don't have to watch them.
Bill Kazmaier, late 80s, WCW era, NWA era, Bill Kazmaier, watch them.
Mike, that's all you got.
Come on. Vern Gagne and Brian Reagan's.
Who are those guys?
Multiple times, Bill Kazmaier won the strongest man in the world competition. 660
Listen,
bench.
I'm not. Look, he's a commentator for the World's Strongest Man for years. I know very well who Bill Kazmaier. They call him Kaz. Hello, I'm Taz. He's Kaz. So I know who Bill Kazmaier is. Then
why would you say that Bill Kazmaier was never a wrestler?
Because he was not known. He wrestled for such a. How long was his career?
Look it up, Seth.
He's looking it up. Oh, boy.
Looks like just a couple of years.
Not even.
Hey, what do you
Japan?
Mean? What's wrong with a couple?
New Japan.
Couple of years.
Oh, Brad
We're
Rangers.
Asking who the strongest wrestler
in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Well, you know
his
why?
Name was Pound Cake by Van Halen.
You know why he got to New Japan? Because Brad Rangers got him there. Because Brad got me there at the same time.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad Rangers.
Why'd he bring you back?
They brought him back.
Why'd they bring you back?
What are you talking about?
I'm just joking.
Please just jump out of the window. Please. So, I don't like that pick, Mike. I don't like that pick.
Well, since this is my last fantasy draft, it doesn't much matter.
Well, how did you know? Who told you that? Did you tell himself?
You overhear things.
Oh, right, overhear things. So, right.
You know how it is.
Mike, sorry, Seth, who do you have at number two?
Number two is an oxymoron because I have the world's strongest man at number two. That doesn't make sense, does it?
Oh, you have Mark Henry.
I have Mark Henry at number two.
WWE.
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 What do you have? You have a problem with WWE?
No, I don't have a problem at all. But
you have a problem with me.
No, but you're not vast enough. VAST. You're not vast enough. That's nothing to do with WWE.
I'm not vascular enough.
No, you're a douche. No, what I'm saying is you got to spread your wealth. You got to spread your knowledge. Listen, you can't come out here with Tanae and I if you don't have the aptitude and the education and the legacy in your brain.
My guys are all legit strong, man.
Oh, God. You just because the guy's called the world's strongest man, you got Mark Henry on the list?
I'm a Mark, so I got Mark on the list.
All right. Can I give my number two, Mike?
Is that going to go good? It's today. You throwing a flag on Mark Henry?
I'm going to kill this guy's microphone, and he actually has to kill his own mic. How about that? my number two, I would love to say neither of you guys have this guy on your list, but it's late in the game here, is a guy that my man Seth will not know, but Tanae will. Mr. Jeep Swenson.
Oh, my God.
Come on,
world class, baby.
Give me some knowledge. Bring it. Bring it.
Oh, Jeep Swenson, built like a Jeep.
Oh my God.
One of the thickest guys. Now, were you? I can't imagine you were never in the ring with him. Were
no,
you?
Thank God. No.
But and again, a guy who really, I mean, since you want to knock Bill Kazmaier, Jeep Swenson probably only wrestled for a couple years.
No, come
but
on.
But Jeep Swenson, world class.
No.
I would. I wouldn't have him that high on the list. But again, I'm going to defer to you.
Yeah.
You know, he's on WWE Network right now. There's a picture of him under Greatest Managers, one of those round tables. I was like, I didn't know who that guy was. Now I see this picture. It's the same picture they use.
That's Mr. Jeep Swenson. Check how long his career was, Seth, please.
Greatest Managers?
Yeah, he wasn't a
manager. No, there is on WWE Network, they have round tables, and the image on my screen, the thumbnail, is it's that guy. I was like, I don't know who that guy is.
Jeep Swenson. Yeah, so... Yeah, Mike, first of all, I think he's wrestled longer than 2 years. And he, I should see a lot of world-class programming.
He died at 40 in 97.
Yeah, he was definitely a monstrous individual and just known as a pure powerhouse.
Who was his manager?
Gary Hart. It was.
It was.
How long did he wrestle?
It looks like 88 to 96.
Oh, there you go, Tanae. You're wrong again.
Bill Kazmaier.
Yeah. A couple of 3, 4, 5, 7 years. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, 2 matches a year for five of the years. But but that's okay.
He was a monster. All right, so that's my number two. Number one, here we go. Drum roll. Tanae, what do you got?
Well, you know you're going to hate this because you just blasted Seth. Mm. I got Mark Henry at number one. The way I look at it, Mark Henry not only has the numbers, he has, as far as Olympic lifting, power lifting, what can I say? I had to defer. I had to make Mark Henry number one. And I guess, Taz, did you have Mark Henry on your list, period?
Let me explain. First off, Mark Henry is one of the most modern-day legit strongmen going. I agree. Just like I had when we did a previous fantasy draft show, when we did the world's most craziest gimmicks and we had a little confusion, and I had guys like Kamala tied at first with the original Sheik, and I had Abby at one. Same thing with a Mark Henry, and also, I don't want to stooge off my number one yet, Mark Henry, and I had Ivan Putski along with my number one, which I'll name in a minute. So I had Mark Henry. I didn't think doing Mark Henry 10 through 2 was enough justice. I was busting your chops, Seth, when I said Mark Henry. But Mark, legitimate, no doubt. So, Mike, you have him at number one?
I do.
I'm okay with that, Mike.
Thank you very much.
I'm not okay with my number two, Mark Henry.
I'm actually not, no. Because he's better than number two. It's crazy, right? There's so many layers to me today. These guys don't understand.
Yeah, you're a very complex man.
I really am.
So you're angry, period.
Yeah, very angry. Okay. Who's your number one there, guy?
Drumroll. I got Ken Patera.
All right. Good job. Can't argue it. No problem. And I got my number one, drum roll please. A guy we mentioned, I don't remember, Tanae had him somewhere. I had Ted Arcidi.
Well, there you go.
And look, Ted Arcidi to me, I mean, he benched 705.
That's it? I just got killed for saying that 5 minutes ago. Somebody please check the tape.
No, I said that as a joke, but he did bench 705, and he did have a bench press shirt, which usually adds about, I don't know, maybe 40 pounds, so he's still benching a lot.
You picked him apart when I had him, knowing that you had him at number one, so that's
I got hot.
Was, you were just upset that I had him at four and got to tell the Ted Arcidi story, because I one-upped you on that.
Ding.
He's working this list, Mike.
I work a little.
Jesus. Yeah, so. Killing me.
All right, look, we're done.
No honorable mentions, which really is disappointing to me.
Oh, yeah.
We know you can do some, Mike. I just look up Swenson, though. You know, he played Bane in 1997, Batman and Robin. And he also, when he died, Hulk Hogan and Davey Boy Smith gave eulogies at his funeral. I thought that was a little good.
Hulk Hogan and Davey Boy Smith?
Yeah, at Swenson's funeral.
Interesting. Yeah. I want to say one honorable mention. A guy that is... Another guy that could have been on this list, and none of us mentioned, which was interesting, and that was Rick Steiner. Okay? Rick Steiner.
What about Scott?
Well, Scott's you could say Scott, too.
Scott, am I honorable?
I agree with Scott on honorable. I only go by Rick because I've tagged up with Rick. I've tagged with Rick and Scott as a team. When I tagged with them as a six-man, I was hurt. I was manager. I had a neck brace on. I was all screwed up. One time when I was healthier, I believe I just tagged with Rick, and I saw what he was doing to dudes, and I heard about his reputation, and Scott, same thing, right? Another legitimate, the body on Scott and this and that, but Rick, I just think, I don't know who's stronger. I think maybe Rick, I don't know who's stronger in the weight room in their prime, who knows, splitting hairs. I guess, okay, the Steiners. I'll put both in my honorable mention.
Let me ask you guys a question. What about, I mean, and I can understand none of us had him on the list, but Big Show is pretty strong, no?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when I talked about Bam Bam Bigelow, Andre the Giant, and the Big Show, and I mentioned how do we categorize that kind of strength? I don't know that you can really categorize it or quantify it.
You can. See, that's because you don't really know what you're saying. So this is the. This is how you do it. The reason is those guys they have so much more body weight on their opponents, so they could appear much stronger just because they're purely just so much heavier.
True.
You know, and that's the reason. These guys that were on my list, none of these guys were like, you know, 400-pound guys. Mark Henry was honorable mention or whatever. You guys, Mike had him at number one. You had him somewhere at number three,
two.
Four, two. So, I mean, but Mark's a huge man, you know, and I don't know.
Well, you're in the ring with Big Show. I mean, how strong is that
guy? I've been in the ring with Big Show. I've been in the ring with Undertaker. Big Show is very strong, no doubt about it. Like I said earlier, man, the strongest guy I've ever was in the ring with was Stockton Dead Steve Williams. Hmm. Ain't nobody came close.
Wow.
I'm talking about nobody. I mean, for me. I'm just talking about for me.
That's good enough for me.
So that guy was just unbelievably strong. I mean, he made me look good, and I need all I can get.
Taz, I would like your reaction. If I could just throw out three or four names, these are either honorable mention or ones that I would just want your gut feeling on.
Shoot.
Let's start. I've got four names here. First one is Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, another guy you could say. I mean, definitely, he played football for the University of Georgia, as you know. Big dude, genetics. Another guy, just look at him, just tremendous genetics. Athleticism, first step explosion, you could see his body. I don't know why I didn't have him on my list. I don't think he was ever looked at as a strong man type
right.
guy.
Although look at guys like the Big Show or the Giant at that point being taken up and held in the jackhammer.
That's a great point. Hey, how about this guy, Mike? You'll appreciate this. Another guy I just thought about that we never mentioned, and I'm mad at myself. Hernandez. Not Hercules Hernandez, Hernandez.
Yep.
You know,
Big Sean Hernandez.
Yeah, Sean Hernandez, you know, that was in TNA and Lucha Underground now. Dude, that guy, Mike, you and I have seen him.
That's one muscular, big, thick son of a gun.
That's a kid.
He's a hoss.
Let me ask you these couple others just for quick reactions. Bobby Lashley.
Oh, wow. Another guy.
Muscle on muscle.
Another guy that's so powerful. I mean, twitch muscle strength. Twitch muscle.
You explain.
Know, fast twitch,
you know, just how, how do I put it in words? Just quick, how quick the muscle react to flex, to grab, to strength, to power, to explosion. You know, like twitch. Like
torque.
Torque's a little longer. Twitch is quick. He has that quick. Man, that's just hard to explain, like Lesnar has. That's where there's similarities between Lesnar and, in my opinion, and Lashley.
And they say that about top athletes, they have those fast twitch muscles.
Yeah, man, that's what it is. It's a little tricky to explain. I mean, I guess I should have stayed in that kinesiology class that I was in college.
two more quick names just to run by.
These are $6 a piece, by the way, for you.
Bob Sapp.
Oh, yeah, another guy who, you know, did all that stuff... in Japan, very big, powerful, thick, strong man. Definitely a strong man. I don't think he had a reputation in locker rooms as that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just a big, burly, powerful, giant man. Another football player, I think. He played for Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, or something like that. Yeah. I don't think of him as a strong man, but Jesus, he's just a monstrous guy, yeah.
And the last guy that I wanted your reaction on was John Cena.
Oh, God, that's a great point. Man, how did we not think of Cena?
I have all these guys on there, but I just didn't have a way
to
rank them, and I've been dying to get your reaction.
That Cena is a weight room junkie.
They just showed footage of him like benching, like four plates on there or
he's
something.
He's an animal.
Yeah.
No, he's always been an animal. I think when he was young, he did some powerlifting before he broke into business or something like that. And then just leaned out his body, still thick, strong, former offensive lineman at Springfield College, a little small D2 school up in Massachusetts, Springfield, Mass. And you know what, man? That's a good point. Cena definitely could have been on this list. He's a cockstrong dude. No doubt about it. For real. I forgot about Cena. I don't know how, but yeah, definitely, for sure. Super strong guy. Yeah, you can go on and on. There's tons and tons of guys. There's
so many
powerful, strong wrestlers. At the end of the day, we know the world's strongest wrestler probably of all time was probably Taz. Was me.
Huh?
So, yeah.
Actually, you know what?
No, I wasn't.
No, really. going back, explain, because I mean, I know that you were definitely into lifting.
Oh, yeah, a lot. But I was more a lower body strength guy. In a weight room, I could sling a lot of weight lower body. I had good strength upper body. I'm built like a bench press guy, but when I was younger, before I was really broke off in the business, my bench was a lot higher, but then shoulder injuries really affected my benching power. My lower body was always strong, and I have, for a shorter guy, I have great pulling strength. See, most guys either have pushing strength,
bench,
right, or pulling strength, okay, like pull downs or deadlifting. For a guy who was shorter, I actually have very long arms. I have shorter legs with long arms. I have like a 37-inch reach. For a guy 5'8", I am. I mean, that's I'm like a gorilla. I have long arms and short legs.
His knuckles are dragging on the ground.
So I was able to pull a lot of weight. You know, my pushing, of course, my arms are a little longer, even though I'm looked like I'm a stocky guy. I actually have long arms. So my pushing and my, due to my injuries, were never as strong as they should have been, my benching. But my pulling, any kind of bicep work, back work, I would do sumo-style deadlifts, which was your toes would be pointing out. You take an inside grip as you deadlift. And I would rep six plates, you know, 600 pounds. Wow. I could get, I don't know, probably six reps.
Damn.
You know, my prime, you know, I mean, so I had very, very strong pulling strength, and that's what helped me with my suplexing. So
who's the biggest guy you suplexed in your career?
Physically biggest, I don't know, Bam Bam's there, 911's another guy.
Who's that guy you feuded against, the UFC guy came in?
Yeah, he wasn't that big. Paul Vollins was a big guy, yeah. But he wasn't as... Yeah, he was a big guy.
911 maybe? What was he, like
911 was
seven,
big,
six,
yeah, he was 6'7". I don't know if I have a suplex Undertaker. I don't remember that match we had in SmackDown. Maybe not. Rock, he was big, but Rock wasn't as big as these other guys. But I don't know. I mean, Bam Bam was just big, thick,
heavy,
tough to lift, you know. You know, I got to say, I will toot my own horn. If you watch a match I had, a pay-per-view in ECW at Asbury Park, I think it was Living Dangerously pay-per-view. And we had a cape table in the ring. I think this is the match when we broke the ring, I think. And there was a point in the match where I double leg, I lift up Bam Bam and drop him face first on a table. Bam Bam didn't want to go up, and I wanted to lift him up. And you could, if you watch that back, you'll see it. And I struggled, and he didn't want to go. I got him up, and I dumped him. And then I realized, I'm like, wow, I guess I still have some strength in my body. You know? So,
got it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's different strength. Like, you're in the ring, and, you know, I knew that, you know, I was in a little bit of a tussle here where a guy was a monster, and it's live TV. I got to get him over. I got to, I mean, get him to bump, you know. But most of the times, Bam Bam was a true gentleman and a pro and the easiest guy to work with. But, you know, at times, I would tick him off, not meaning it. I just was, you know, he didn't take my shit, and you know, and I loved Bam. I miss him. I learned a lot from him, and I had a blast working with him, and he's a legend. But he was one of the bigger guys. I think I suplexed only because he let me. That's why I suplexed
me. If I let you,
only because he let me. That's a shoot. So because if he didn't want to go, he didn't have to. But that's it. Can we end the show, please? I mean, I got meetings. I got people waiting for me.
I have a couple more honorable mentions, but I'm not even going to bring them up.
Mike, how long?
I'm not going to bring them up.
No, I'm not going to bring them up because, you know, this is my last show. I wanted to go out with a bang.
Redeem yourself.
I wanted to redeem myself, especially after last month's travesty.
Oh, that was horrible. Yeah. What's the? Come on, do it quick, guy. What's the honorable mention?
Two quick ones?
Yeah, please.
Two really, really quick. Ryback.
Yeah, another guy you could say. I mean, you know, super strong guy. I mean,
sure.
You know. Yeah, I mean,
put Big Show on his shoulders, man. Jesus,
I mean, yeah, we just had a top 30 here. I mean,
no, I know we can keep going.
You just
name
guys that had muscularity. What are you gonna do here, Mike? I mean,
and the last guy, Ahmed Johnson, too. I mean, you just, you know, you can come up with list after list after list, and you sit there and you go, wow, what about this guy? Well, maybe we should have put this guy in here.
Ahmed Johnson, I would say, yeah. I don't need him on my list, but I would say yeah.
No.
I hear you.
Yeah, you know where we're headed.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Anyway, it's been an education for me. Thank you, Taz.
Well, no, thank you, Mike, and Seth was here too. So I want to thank you both, and thank you all out there who downloaded and subscribed to the show.
Thanks also, everybody. My last appearance.
Why do you got to interrupt me every time I do this?
My final look, I just wanted to sort of a goodbye wave for everybody.
No,
Mike. We're not going to. You redeemed yourself.
I
was. I don't know how you heard about this, but I was going to cut you loose.
Yeah. There were rumblings.
There were literally. I was going to cut, but you know what? I was getting instant messages on my computer here from the big brass at CBS. And
yeah.
They like you. They want you.
They love me.
They do. They want you. So.
We'll hear about this in the dirt sheets later.
Yeah, dirt sheets. Yeah. So that's it. We're done. So that was a top 10 strongman fantasy draft edition. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Mike. Today,
yes,
I am Taz. You are not. Goodbye.